This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to This Week in the NFL, heading into Week 15 after a fairly exciting Week 14. Can't believe the season's almost over, but here we are. Co-host Cowboy, joined as always by Mr. D'Amato. Johnny D, Place to Be. How you doing, buddy?
Beautiful, Cowboy. Very nice in the holiday season. And we got a nice gift to send a classic game. If you want to start there, or do you want to start on another note? Are you doing any travels this month for business?
Am I doing any travels for business? I already did.
Oh, okay. Because I know you usually go to a place. I want to hear you say we're on to Cincinnati.
Oh, yes. Yes, no, I haven't been there in a while. I haven't been there in a while. I have been. I am staying right across from the stadium. So, yeah, no, that's not one I'm going to be attending. But crazy stuff, John. So, can you believe season's almost over? We had a pretty... A lot of stuff going on this week. I guess the first thing we probably should talk about is the Pats Chiefs
Come on. They self-reported. To me, it's not much of an issue. They self-reported. They might lose mid-round draft pick or two.
Yeah. I know. It's like another. It hasn't been a great few weeks for the Pats here. The team looks bad. This wasn't a great loss to the Chiefs to only put up 16 points against the Chiefs' crappy defense. I watched the game with my buddy Ryder. We couldn't understand how the Patriots weren't scoring more. Their big issue is they just can't run the ball this year, which is a major problem for them. But if there was ever a week to right the ship, it would be against the Bengals, especially if they've got a little intel from the Browns game. I can't imagine that they would be stupid enough to do that right out in the open like that if it was nefarious. I mean, just to be so brazen, especially the Bengals. I mean, my high school team could go up there and compete with the Bengals. So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt on this one. I think it was. I do not think that they were doing anything. I don't think they were doing anything intentionally illegal or cheating.
As I'm in the 1%, because it seems like 50% of the football world are Pat lovers and about 49% are Pat haters, and I'm the 1% that's kind of neutral. So I'll grant the judgment on this one that they self-reported, and it's not a big issue to me. Now, if you want to go back in history, Spygate was a big issue, and they got a slap on the wrist for that. They didn't get punished properly. Deflategate was a lot of garbage, and they got punished a little too much as a makeup for not getting punished for Spygate. So this one falls in a... And then not so much, and then not a big deal category to me.
Agreed, John. So the less we talk about that BS, the better, but felt like we should talk about it. I think the more concerning thing for the Patriots is the way that they're playing. And hopefully they can get right against Cincinnati. If Cincinnati gives them a game, I mean, the sky is going to be falling here in New England. It's already falling a little bit, but they'll have, yeah. I mean, it's... You know how it is. There's no the one thing I kind of think about is, like, at this time last year, it was like the same thing. Like they were playing awful. I think they lost to Miami right around this time last year, and you know, going into the playoffs last year, it didn't. I mean, not very many people were picking the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. We'll just say that, and they turned it around. I think you mentioned last week though that they did it on the back of their running game, which seems to be non-existent right now. So we'll see. Sometimes you just need a little shot in the arm, and a little questionable officiating in the Chiefs game. But as we've said on here, you know, that goes both ways, and can't win them all. So it is what it is. I'm not going to cry about it.
Yeah, that was horrendous officiating, and unfortunately, coach ran out of challenges. So That was a tough break there. But you got to give Spagnuolo's defense, Kansas City, really stepping up. They couldn't stop anybody first half of the season, and now they look like contenders with the defense. They might be able to go in and win a game in Baltimore. You never know.
I think some of this was a function of the Patriots' awful
lack
offense.
Of offensive line.
I mean, if you look at what Denver did offensively to a Houston team that shut down the Patriots pretty well. Drew Locke looked like prime John Elway as they jumped out 38-3. But yeah, I mean, the Patriots have to worry about their division at this point. You know, you got to go out and beat Cincinnati, and then you're playing Buffalo. So lock that up, and then you know, then we can, you know, kind of one step at a time. You know what I mean, John?
Yeah. So do you attribute it to kind of the injuries and lack of production on the offensive line and running game combined? Or?
Well, I think the losing James Devlin hurt the running game a lot.
Right. Yeah.
And yes, the offensive line, obviously. Sonny Michel is not, you know, being honest, he's not the league's most talented back. He's not a guy who's making something out of nothing, unfortunately. And then, I mean, just when you watch the game, it's like, there's really nobody open. Like this offense over the years has struggled without Gronkowski, and you're seeing that, and it's like just exacerbated because they really only have one decent receiver, and Brady's obviously older, right? I mean, his numbers are awful this year, and so I mean, there's definitely a little regression there, and it doesn't help that he doesn't have anyone open, and it's just kind of you know, if you can't run the ball and you can't really throw the ball, and you don't have a great offensive line, you're not going to score a lot of points, right? So I think their best bet would be to try to fix that power running game. You have 3 weeks to do it. This is a good opportunity this week against a team that's going to offer little to no resistance and, you know, get a little confidence there and then go from there. Because, I mean, really, the only way they're moving the ball on offense now is all trick plays. Those are all their best plays are trick plays. So that is not sustainable.
And that was a tough break going back to the you know, the poor officiating, because maybe that if N'Keal Harry gets credit for that touchdown like he should have, maybe that kind of gives him confidence and sparks him for these last few weeks.
Yeah, but he was only on the field for two snaps. That was one of them. Seriously, he was in the doghouse ever since Brady got picked on that slant against Houston where he let the guy get in front of him. So, but yeah, I mean, he scored. It is what it is. It's a tough situation because they had to use the last challenge because the refs missed the previous call. Yep. So, like, you had a drive where they scored two touchdowns and didn't get either of them, right? They scored a defensive touchdown that they did not get credit for, and then Harry scored, and they didn't get credit for it, so they had to kick the field goal, and then they couldn't get the touchdown at the end, very predictably. So this stuff happens in the NFL almost every week, though, where teams are the victims of poor officiating. And it certainly has worked in the Patriots' favor before, and I'm sure it will again. So what can you do?
Yeah.
You had a play inside the 10-yard line, or multiple plays inside the 10-yard line. You couldn't punch it in at the end.
As you mentioned, they ramped it up. There was a lot of gloom and doom last year. I think it was a little before this, that Miami game.
Week 15. I'm fairly certain it was week 15.
Okay, so about the same time. And then they ramped it up. Because I just watched the great HBO show, Belichick and Saban. And Bill was talking about how last year they played like shit. He actually said, it's HBO, they let curse. And he said they played shitty the first two-thirds of the year. And then the last third of the year, they ramped it up and they peaked with their defense. So.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I mean, going into, even with the Chargers coming into Foxborough, who had gone 12-4 a lot of people were picking the Chargers in that game. When the Patriots came out and just like scored 21 points, and we were like, where the hell has this offense been all season?
Yeah, coming off that impressive win over the Ravens, the people were on them, but yeah. But yeah, that's it's highly recommended if you check it out, that HBO show, Belichick and Saban. It's like the two most hated coaches in college and pros, but you see they're great guys.
I really enjoyed the scenes. The 30 for 30, the two Bills with Parcells Belichick.
That was great too, but this one, they have like a conversation about coaching and their history and all that, and plus they show them at both at their daughters' weddings and stuff. It's very good. Put aside your hate for the listeners out there. Put aside your hate for the coaches and just watch. You learn a lot of good stuff about winning
about
and leadership.
I had like a real I had like a real busy day yesterday. Like I had to fly somewhere for work in the morning and then fly home, and then I had a final exam to take. And it was just like a real crazy day. And I got home and I almost put on the Belichick and Saban thing, but instead, I have NBA League Pass and I just haven't been using it because I haven't been home. So I watched Blazers Knicks.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, great. Good choice. Good choice. Yeah.
Damian Lillard was on fire.
At least
fire,
Carmelo
man.
Resurrected. Yes, I caught the first quarter. Yes, thank you.
He couldn't miss. He couldn't miss.
At least Carmelo is resurrected. Good for him.
The Knicks have some pieces, John. I think they're going to be all right. I really like Mitchell. I like Mitchell Robinson. I like.
Cincinnati. we're on to Golden State.
They just got some of those guys. Like you don't really need like. Morris and Taj Gibson on like a rebuilding team. They should somehow get rid of those guys.
At December or something is the that's when they could trade him. Hopefully they could get some first round.
That three-headed point guard, right? Frankie Nails.
Yeah.
Dennis Smith Jr. Alfred Payton played good in this game.
That kind of goes like when you're quarterbacks. I think Parcells said that's another Parcells quote. When you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. but it was highly recommended because I'm fascinated by what makes great leaders and stuff like that, and it was really good. But moving on, we're on to Cincinnati, or we're on to the game of the week. Let's chop it up about that. 49ers and Saints defensive struggle.
Yeah, so we missed the boat on that one, John, but I don't think we were alone. On paper, it looked like two great defenses, and it's just one of those games in the dome where both teams just came out guns blazing. I mean, I know you're a purist, but I don't think this was a case of like super shitty defense. I think these offenses were just really clicking. I mean, they were both really diving into the playbook for different things, and man, what an exciting game! I mean. For Garoppolo to go into New Orleans and out-duel Breeze is a real testament. I mean, he played great. Like I think we rightfully kind of questioned before the game whether he was sort of their weak link. And I'm not saying he put it to bed, but performances like this are going to start to put that to bed. I mean, if he plays like that, they're going to be really, really difficult to beat. I mean, with the Saints clicking on all cylinders at home, nobody wins there. Not very, very few teams win that game. And I loved how they pulled it out at the end. I love Georgie Kittle. Oh, man. Talk about – he reminds you of Gronk, doesn't he? And he's a big wrestling fan. I mean, he's like my favorite player in the league, one of them. Awesome play at the end.
You say Gronk. It reminded me of Mark Bavaro, who ironically did that in a classic Monday night game versus.
Oh, I remember. I mean, carried the whole team on his back.
Yes. That play makes you proud to be a football fan. You know, this year we had to deal with Antonio Brown nonsense and Miles Garrett. And we deal with shitty officiating. We deal with 45-minute replay reviews and. You know, we deal with a lot of stuff that that makes it tough to
Odell Beckham.
Yeah, a lot of crap that makes it like when non-fans interrupt you watching the game and say, "How could you watch this crap?" When just show them that play, and that makes you proud to be a football fan. That's why we tune in every week to see.
He would have
like
gotten
that.
In too if he. I mean, it was like 30-yard face
Marcus
mask.
Williams had to grab his. Yeah, that was. That was just tremendous. Hopefully he stays healthy and has a great career, and that'll go down as a Hall of Fame video.
Awesome game. Awesome play by him. Both teams with kind of soft touches this week. Atlanta going into San Francisco. I mean,
yeah, not much there.
Be shocked if the Falcons can stay in that game.
Talking about the game more though, I kind of agree more with what you said. I wasn't that disgusted by it. It wasn't like that. What was that? Was it the Rams and the Chiefs last year, where nobody like even came close to a tackle? Here, there was at least, like you said, they did have to work for it. But with one exception though, the Saints secondary, man, just what a schizophrenic group. Like you could just all you have to do is look at the matchups when they play Tampa, and when you see like Lattimore matched up against Mike Evans, like one game Evans has like 12 for 240 and two tubs, and then there's a couple games where he shut down Evans totally. That group is just schizophrenic with, you know, Marcus Williams, you know we know his history with the Diggs play and all that, and Eli Apple, I could tell you with the Giants, he may look decent on some days, but also he gets burnt a lot. And
first round pedigree, right? Yeah, there, right?
Yeah.
Eli
Apple. That's why the Giants are where they are. They made him a top 10 pick. But anyway, yeah. But some of the that secondary needs a lot of work because that one touchdown was egregious. When Sanders caught the ball and fell on his ass and rolled around for like 5 minutes, and then he got up and he stumbled and they still couldn't tackle him. I mean, at least
was it Marcus? That was Marcus Williams,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course. But
I mean, because Sanders really clowned him. I mean, they just threw it up. It was one on one, and they just threw it up. And Sanders, I mean, Sanders isn't like a big. It's not like Braylon Edwards or Dez Bryant, you know, like a giant.
Yeah,
and I
threw
mean,
it
just,
up.
He clowned him, and then to the point where, like you said, he caught the ball, fell on his ass, got up and still
and
ran
stumbled.
In.
And if they at least hold him to a field goal one nose, give him a chance. But you talk about that throw, threw it up. He threw that ball higher. That looked like one of Jackie Bradley's 100 pop ups to the first baseman. That was so high.
That was
egregious
a little uncalled for right there. That was a payback for just saying I watched the Knicks. I didn't even say anything bad about him.
I guess I won't be getting a Christmas card from Senior this year. Sorry about that.
Oh, I think you're going to have to do more than that, John, to not get a card from Senior. What a game. What a game.
Yeah.
I mean,
and also for purists, that was the first game of history with the 48-46 final score. There was another one like that too early in the year, but I think it was more of a blowout, like a 40-18 or something. I forgot what it was. But for purists that are into that sort of thing, that's what it was.
That's pretty neat. Good stuff. So that could very well be a preview of the NFC title game. I think it would be. That's the odds-on favorite for the NFC title game.
But another thing, Roger, I have to dispute with you though. The Saints at home, you see, they lost last year in the championship game. I mean, they're vulnerable because sometimes, like the crowd, they get too nervous. They kind of get quiet, so it kind of they don't really have that advantage like they used to have back in the days. They barely won. Their one championship game versus the Vikings, that was because Favre kind of handed it to them.
Yeah.
And last year they lost at home. Okay, the refs, we know that. But they can be taken at home. So.
Oh yeah.
And for the on the opposite, they're not as weak as they are on the road. So I wouldn't put it past them to go into. I think they could still hang tough and go into San Francisco and take it if it comes down to that.
I really think San Francisco is just a better team. I mean, I do. I think that's the best the Saints can play, and I think San Francisco just has more answers.
Nah,
one thing really missing from the Saints is Kamara. Like, he's such a. I mean, I know they scored 46 points, but he's a real dynamic part of that offense who has really done next to nothing all season, and it makes him a little more predictable. I mean, they really only throw to Thomas for the most part, right? And I don't know. I'm a little low on the Saints in general. I mean, I think they played a good game. I think that's their best game, and it wasn't good enough.
No, I don't, because their defense, which I've been praising all year, can play a lot better. And they were missing Alonzo and Klein. They were missing two of their top linebackers. So, and as stated before, their secondary has had better days. They're not always that horrible. So,
right, and obviously, the 49ers defense has generally been better, obviously, a lot better than they were in that game. I mean, Breeze really turned back the clock in that game. He was phenomenal.
Because they lost Sherman, who's going to be out a couple weeks, and they lost another starter too. And also on the offensive side, they lost their center, the 49ers, Richburg. So
yeah, they lost. Eric Armstead, right? Was the other injury?
Yeah, yes. So I think those injuries are going to take their toll on
the Sherman now. One's huge. At least, I mean, they have to hope he's back for the playoffs. He grades out by PFF as literally the number one corner in the whole NFL this year. Obviously, I mean that's a giant loss for them. So,
and after this week, they finish off with the Rams next week, and the game which will still be in play for the division at Seattle last week. So
maybe
I still think there's a possibility the 49ers. Might have to go in as a wild card.
Oh, it is possible. Yeah. Great segue, though, John. You know, we could do a little. We could pat ourselves on the back.
Yes.
Sunday night, Seattle at Los Angeles. Your two hosts here had our finger on the pulse of this one. We went back to the well with the Rams after being completely embarrassed the last time they played at home on Sunday Night Football.
The Ravens,
or Monday
right.
night. I'm sorry. I think that was a Monday night game. But either way, the Rams came out and whooped them, really. I mean, it was 28-12. They really do against the – I mean, it's weird how it happened. But it seems like they just all of a sudden figured something out on offense. Because – and it really is like – it looks like it's like Higby and Robert Woods – two games in a row. Woods is eating up all the wide receivers, not all of them, but a good amount of the wide receiver targets. And Higby has been a revelation, over 100 yards 2 weeks in a row. We had questions about Seattle's defense, but I mean they are better than the Cardinals. But the Rams look good, and Gurley looked good. So the problem for the Rams, I mean, it was a really nice win for them. It kept them alive, but they've dug themselves such a hole that they almost have to, because of the way, and I'm sorry about this, but because of the NFC East and the way the season's worked out, I mean, they're probably going to need to go 11-5 to have a chance to get in. And
don't apologize for telling the truth. That's no problem. What they're going to need is a loss. They're gonna need a Vikings to drop down and to lose, like maybe get clipped by the Chargers this week, and then for the Vikings to lose to the Green Bay. That might
be.
The
I don't know.
Chance.
I guess I should know this, but I don't know who has the tiebreaker. Like if the Rams win out and the Vikings finish 11-5 too, I'm not sure who would have it. But
yeah, a lot of things go down before then. You know, it comes down to division or conference and all that. But that was a good point by you. You must have stole my famous JAD notes, because that was after that Ravens disaster, they could have went a different way. And young McVay is showing that he's going to be a long term coach, that he knows how to make adjustments. Because after that game, it could have looked like they could have just packed it in for the year. But instead, he did as you stated. That was very observant of you. He Cooper Kupp and Cooks a lot of bench time. And more are Woods and the tight end Higby, and also two tight ends. The other tight end, his name escapes me at this point, because in for blocking, and a lot more Gurley. And he kind of revamped the offense, and instead of quitting, it looks like they're revitalized with this offense. And Gurley's fresh, because he wasn't overused in that first half.
So their defense played great in that game, and we didn't bring that up, but. Their defense is a little schizophrenic too, but when they're clicking, I mean they have a lot of talent on that side of the ball, and Donald was in Wilson's face the whole game long, and they have a good secondary, so it's Ty Hill and Jalen Ramsey, right? I mean it's a.
The only thing that made the game remotely close was because of Goff's one of his favorite receivers was Quandre Diggs. Quandre Diggs, yeah. And then another pick right after that to Diggs, but the defense held tough after the second one, which could have got Seattle back in the game. So Goff is still a little shaky, and he still might, if it comes down to him, they still might blow one and find themselves on the outs.
Agreed. I give them credit for not folding up. I mean, because that Ravens loss was one where a lot of teams would have packed it in, right? I mean, confidence gone.
Oh yeah.
And we'll talk about it more.
We'll talk about it more next week. They should put up a good game versus the Niners. Next week, the Niners with the tough, Rams in the Seattle last two games. So
the Rams might be in the game of the week this week. Rams at Cowboys.
How about those Cowboys? Oh, God.
So the Cowboys are one of the first teams in history. I don't remember this ever happening, where they've blatantly quit on their coach while they're still in first place in the division.
Grace, yeah.
They suck. Really,
well, that's
the
difference.
We recorded after, right? We recorded after.
We talked about the Bears game. We talked about it. Yeah. We did on Friday, yeah.
So, I mean, this on paper is a tough game for the Rams, but I have zero faith that the Cowboys are going to come out and do anything other than lay an egg. And the Rams are a tough matchup for them with the pass rush, right? So, I mean, really, though, they're going to have to try to grind Zeke. Prescott's not going to have a lot of time to throw. They have receivers who can match up. I mean, they have cornerbacks who can match up to Cooper and Gallup. And then given that Mitch Trubisky looked like Willie Beeman against the Cowboys last week, the Cowboys defense might have single-handedly allowed the Bears to re-up on Trubisky for that fifth season, that one performance. You would think with the Rams offense clicking that against a defense that's outwardly quit like this, that they're going to be able to score a lot of points. So I like the Rams. I like them by double digits. Cowboys, going to have to prove it to me. We've had too much faith in them based on the personnel, and it's just the parts do not equal the sum, unfortunately.
I'm with you too on the Rams, but the only thing is maybe the law of averages. The Rams are rolling and going too good, and the Cowboys haven't gone too bad. And maybe the law of averages. Maybe the Cowboys finally do a get right game. But we talked about the adjustments McVay has made. To losing. What are the adjustments that Gason Garrett does? He throws his kicker under the bus. That's about the only thing. That's about the only big move that he makes. They brought in a new kicker, Forbath, I think they signed, right?
Yeah, that was the kicker the Patriots cut after one game.
Yeah.
He missed the 37-yarder. That's not going to do anything. I mean,
one crappy kicker with another one. Yeah, Morrow was pretty good last year. He'll probably catch on with somebody next year.
So while we're in the NFCs, the Eagles on Monday night. The Giants put up a. Eli played well. The Giants put up a good fight. The Eagles woke up a little bit at the end, and the Giants defense has been there, obviously, as you know, their big Achilles heel all year, and they just couldn't stop them at the end.
So when the Eagles are down to, only like one receiver, that
maybe cover Zach
a catch. Yeah, maybe not leave him open.
Right.
Just some friendly advice. But, I mean, I never played professional football.
But some of this stuff, some of this stuff I'm reading about all the praise for Wentz and what a great comeback. And I mean, come on. The Giants defense is bad, right? I mean, they've been
awful,
all year. Maybe the worst defense in the NFL. Like, them or the Dolphins. And to be in a position where you've only scored 3 points and you have to come back like that. I mean, I don't think that was an impressive win at all by the Eagles. They were at fucking home. I mean, they should have won that game by 20 points. If they're even a decent team, I mean, it means everything to them. It means absolutely nothing to the Giants, right, other than the Eli thing. And, I mean, would it surprise you if Washington beats them this week?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, the Redskins have been playing respectable. They put up a good fight versus Green Bay. The Redskins, since Callahan took over, other than that Jet embarrassment, they've been in every game.
Well, they hang because of, I mean, he's very, I mean, he's kind of old school. I don't think he's a great coach, but he might be good. He's not a bad coach to have if you have he's running the ball a lot, right? Shorten the game, play a little defense.
No, because that's their strength, is their lines are decent, their O line and their D line. So that keeps them in the game. But
I would love nothing more for both the Cowboys and the Eagles to both lose this week.
but
it's right on the table.
I got to give Wentz a little credit, though. He has no receivers at all. He's got to look for Ertz. If it's not for Ertz, those wide receivers are horrible, and especially when Jeffrey went down. Alcohol went out, and then Jeffrey went down in the first or second quarter.
They only had one. Greg, and then Arcega got hurt too. They only had one.
He's garbage anyway. Even if he is healthy, he's got like he had like 8 catches on the year. How can you not? You know, with all the opportunities for wide receiver, how can you only have like 8 catches? But
rookie,
yeah. So he's got to look for Wentz on every play. So you got to give him a little something credit. But
the part of that's on the man on like how do you only dress 3 wide receivers? Right.
Yeah.
Especially when one of them's Alshon Jeffrey, who is, he said
injury waiting to happen. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, he's like the best customer at the emergency room. You know,
you saw that was Josh McCown was getting ready to go in as a receiver.
Boston Scott saved their asses. I mean, he was their whole offense in the up until and Ertz got a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, the Giants D made the Scott look like fucking Darren Sproles.
I know, and I mean, all credit to Eli. He played real well. They had trouble getting anything going after halftime, but it was pretty nice for him to turn back the clock like that and have a big first half and hit on a couple of big passes.
But it's like I said, it's like I've been saying the past few years, he wasn't as good as people made him out to, and he wasn't as bad as everybody shit on him. When you get no offensive line play, when he had blocking and receivers in the first half, he made a couple nice throws. But in the second half, when Nate Solder did his usual fucking Matador fucking blocking.
That was real bad.
Eli only passed for like 20 yards. He couldn't do shit in the second half. Yeah.
The one play where they had
what a disgrace.
They put Solder and Caden Smith, the tight end, on Vinnie Curry, and like neither one of them even laid a glove on him. It's like he just like walked in between the two.
There you go. The highest paid offensive lineman in the league.
Who are you looking for in the draft, though? Like Chase Young?
David Gettleman. Yeah, either Chase Young or whatever top offensive lineman.
Because you have the inside track on the number 2 pick, right?
Yeah, Chase Young would be a difference maker. Or a nice beastly offensive lineman, which unfortunately the top guy is Thomas, and he's from Georgia. I don't want no bums from Georgia. It shows why they always choke in the friggin' college. They can never win a championship. I'll take Herschel Walker. That's the only guy from Georgia I'll take. And he's like 60 years old. That's the only guy I'll take from
Georgia.
I think
Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis went to Georgia, right?
Yeah, but he didn't win a championship. He won a Super Bowl championship. But I'm talking about a college championship. I'll take Herschel Walker. Yeah,
what's with the Georgia hate? Where's this coming from?
Because we got DeAndre Baker and and Lorenzo Carter, two scrubs on the Giant defense, went to Georgia.
Hey man, we have some potential listeners who aren't gonna like that, but
they're gonna have to deal with it.
It is what it is, you know. No, we don't pull any punches here on this week in the NFL, as has happened many times.
Just like they dealt with disappointment watching Georgia get punked by LSU this week or whoever it is. It's either LSU or Clemson. Somebody always punks them when it comes down to the big game.
Yep, it was an ass kicking. I don't watch a ton of college football, and I did watch the SEC championship because super exciting. A little bit of a blowout. So the Giants in Miami, you got to let them win that game, John. You don't want you want that number 2 pick.
There's only so much you can tank, Roger. I mean, you know, when you tank for 10 years and you're still lousy, it don't matter who you pick.
Miami's playing pretty well, though. I think they'll win.
Yeah, and it turns out Miami might be fortunate. You know, they won a couple games, but maybe Cincy will grab Burrow, And, you know, the Giants will grab Young. They don't need a quarterback. And Miami could still get two. And they also have the Steelers and the Titans, first-round picks. So they're going to be in good shape, Miami. And Flores looks like he's going to be a fine young coach. He was fighting to the end. He was arguing, even in a loss to the Jets, he was arguing a pass interference call. And he's still out there fighting.
Oh, I like him a lot. I like him a lot. He's,
yeah, really, of course
it's
you like
good
him.
For them. You know.
He was a defensive coordinator, and when your team won a Super Bowl and held the other team to 3 points, unlike another head coach who led a team 40 points on in a Super Bowl, and he got promoted to a head coach.
They had the deal in place before the Super Bowl. That's a bad move. But yet, you know, and the other thing for Miami is Devontae Parker. He went out with a concussion in this game, but I mean, he's really realized his potential finally. I mean, he looks like Dez Bryant out there. I mean, his numbers are incredible. And I mean, that's the real stud number one receivers. They're not easy to find. And if he's developed into that, that's a huge, huge win for them and whoever ends up being the long-term solution at quarterback there. So, John, next game I want to talk about is a real, real interesting game, Houston at Tennessee. So these two teams play twice in the last 3 weeks. That's correct, right?
Yes, sir.
This is the first one.
This week's in Tennessee, and last week is in Houston.
So Tennessee's coming in hotter than a firecracker on the 4th of July. Tannehill is, I mean, Tannehill's like a Hall of Fame. His numbers are ridiculous. If you look at the, if you look at the advanced analytics, his numbers are ridiculous. Like essentially, like the best quarterback in the league since he started. Houston, like, I mean, is that were they looking ahead? I mean, what an awful performance! They just got worked by the Broncos, down 38-3 to Drew Lock and the Broncos at home, coming off the win over the Patriots. They're a schizophrenic team. It's such a difficult game to project because you don't know what Houston team is going to show up, right? I mean, if it's the good Houston team, They can beat anybody, and I would actually, even in Tennessee, I think they're a better team. I think that I would favor them. But Tennessee's just been more consistent. Tennessee can run the ball. Houston has trouble running the ball. And Tannehill could just be on, like, one of those magic runs. You remember Captain Comeback Jim Harbaugh for the Colts a long time ago?
Yeah.
Remember that? It was just like he was kind of a journeyman at that point.
Yeah, Indianapolis. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Miracle. Yeah, he went on a miracle run, and that miracle run took them to the AFC title game. And I mean, sometimes you don't fight with them. You don't fight the momentum. Nothing's telling me that Tannehill's taking a step back this week. I'm going with the Tennessee Titans at home to put a stranglehold on that division.
And another thing, not just the stats, but that play when he threw the pick and he ran the guy down. That was an inspiring play. You know what I'm talking about when he threw the to the lineman and he ran about 30 yards down and ran him down and made a tackle. Made a nice tackle too, and that's kind of an inspiring play from a leadership perspective that makes the team rally around him. But as far as this game and the last 3 weeks go, there's more of an urgency for the Titans this week because the Texans, they can still afford to lose this game, and if they come back and win the last two and win the last one, they'll have the tiebreaker because the Titans lost to Jacksonville, and the Texans would have a better division record, and they would, and so if they split, and have the same record, the Texans would have the tiebreaker.
Got it. So
Tennessee
really needs this game.
Yeah, and not only that. Okay, now if you want to look ahead, Tennessee, the middle game. Tennessee is home for New Orleans, which will be a tough one, but they're home. And the Texans are going to Tampa on a Saturday, the second of last week, where they have the three Saturday games, which is not necessarily an easy game.
Well,
that's
going
to be a tough one, too. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one, too. So they're very interested in how this division shapes up. But I'm with you. I'm going to lean towards towards the Titans at home.
It's a good game. I mean, it's I think it'll be a fun game to watch too.
Oh, me too. And I hope in hopefully that last week we get Titans Texans at 4 for the division, and then we finish off the year at 8 o'clock with a little Seahawks 49ers for the division.
Be nice.
Yeah.
So there's not a ton this week of real interesting games. Another one on Sunday night. Two teams that are their records are better than maybe what they look like on paper. Buffalo at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh again, smoke and mirrors, gets another win in Arizona.
The duck.
He's not
so much a duck, but Deontay.
Deontay Johnson.
Yes.
But the defense is real good. And the Bills, and I mean, you called this. The Bills gave Baltimore everything they wanted. I mean, that was the Bills' defense is very good. And Pittsburgh's defense is very good. And I am scared to say this because when I said this last week, the teams scored 94 points combined. But this really has the look, John, of a December defensive struggle, big playoff implications, teams just punching each other in the mouth, 10-7 final kind of game.
13-10.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
I like a good defensive struggle when the teams are good and it's not just because, you know, the offenses suck. And in this case, I really like Buffalo in this game because I have trouble seeing how the Duck is going to get a whole lot done against the Bills. I think the Bills' offense is just a little bit better with Josh Allen and Singletary and Johnny Brown. I mean, Pittsburgh's really done it, really, really done it with smoke and mirrors. And eventually, that's going to run out. But I do believe that Connor is back this week, which will be
and Juju,
which will be helpful for them. Is Juju back as well?
I think you may be right. I think it's still
we
up in the air, but Connor and Juju, especially Connor, they really need him because
Juju's back to practicing fully.
Connor too, they need because Snell almost lost the game for him with a big fumble and his lack of yardage. But Allen's kind of improved. He's not turning the ball over as much. He kept him in. He almost brought him back in that Ravens game. It wasn't due to his turnovers. It was just the Ravens D held him down. But I think they have more weapons, Buffalo, with Brown. And Beasley's stepped up as the slot receiver. And Singletary, I think they're going to make one or two more plays on offense and squeak by two. I hate to agree with you, but
I hate to agree with you. So the way this doesn't happen, which is very possible, is Allen's a little mistake prone, and you got Minka and those guys
down
back there. One
he's
pick six turns
him,
the whole thing around.
Yeah, he's really cut down on the turnovers, but this is one of the best defenses in the league. Somebody like a Fitzpatrick or a Watt could make a game changing play, sure.
And then John, really, but the only other game that has really, I mean, any playoff implications would be, I guess, the Bears at Green Bay.
Or Chargers-Vikings.
For the Vikings, right. I mean, the Vikings have to win that game, right? I mean, they're not. It's going to be like a home game for them.
Yeah, Vikings 6-0 at home, but on the road, all their losses have been on the road. So I wouldn't put it past the Chargers. They're playing for nothing, Footloose or Fancy Free. No pressure. That's when Rivers at his breast. When there's no pressure, and I wouldn't be surprised.
That's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
he's great when he's playing for nothing. Man, but it's just the thing with the Chargers at home is that it's not like they're really home. You know what I mean? Like, I think there'll be a lot more Vikings fans there than Chargers. The Chargers looked good last week against Jacksonville. I mean, if you thought the Cowboys were quitting, go watch the Jaguars. The Cowboys are giving it 110% out there compared to the Jaguars. They just completely rolled over. Marone's obviously going to be gone. But That was a nice win for the Chargers. They scored 45 points. So you could be onto something there. I mean, the Chargers all year, the Chargers have a bunch of talent. And to your point, when it matters, they've come up small time and time and time again. But maybe now that it doesn't matter, they'll be all right.
Yeah, maybe Cousins might be feeling a little pressure, and if you know, when they feel the Rams are breathing down their neck for that wild card spot, or they might be looking ahead to the Packers game next week. So
it is possible. I'm gonna go with the Vikings. I mean, this Chargers team has burned me one too many times.
I'll go with the Vikings too. But I will pick an upset special. I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I haven't been impressed with the Packers the last couple weeks.
We're going to pick the same upset.
Squeak by the Giants and the Skins. I'm going with the Bears.
Shit.
I'm going with the revitalized Bears with Trubisky. The Packers look like they're struggling to me.
The Packers are pretenders, in my opinion. I mean, I don't – and it's tough to say that because they have Rodgers. But it's just of all the teams with the real glossy records, they're the least, other than the Patriots, they're the least impressive to me in that, you know, teams are like, I mean, they did not look good against the Redskins. Aaron Jones played good. That was about it. I mean, they had multiple chances to put the game away and couldn't do it. And the Redskins were in that game right up until the end of the fourth quarter. So,
yeah, if Green Bay hangs on for the division, they don't want to see like the Rams in the first round. Yeah.
And their run defense is pretty suspect. So I don't think Big Mitch is going to have a day like he did against the Cowboys. But I really liked what I saw out of David Montgomery last week. And I think the Bears are finally playing with some confidence, like some of that swagger they had last year, and their defense is playing pretty well. So I like the Bears as well. I like the Bears as well in Green Bay.
Oh, come on. They're going to keep it. Nagy found something. They're going to keep Mitch with the short passes and his runs and more running game. And I think so too. They might be caught looking ahead. The Packers will be caught looking ahead to the Viking game.
That's all right. And then when the Packers win, we can lament how two supposed football experts decided to pick Mitch Trubisky on the road against against the playoff team. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at.
We're doing it because one of our loyal listeners, Timmy Slomka, we're doing it in his honor.
Absolutely. They're going to get him, Tim. So, John, I think we kind of hit all the big stuff here.
Awesome.
You know, if you give me a second here, I will go through all the different things we have going on here at Place to Be Nation. Just bear with me for one moment while I pull that up, because I am chronically unprepared, as John will tell you.
Nah, I would never say that.
You know what it was? We usually have to reschedule at least once, and because we actually got this in, it's Wednesday night, by the way. But because we didn't talk Jets Ravens, by the way, which is tomorrow night, we did that on purpose. Nothing to be said.
Yeah, there's not much to be said. I hear Le'Veon Bell bowled a 251. That was the big news of the week in Jetland.
Given the way Gase has fucking killed him, as far as, you know, I mean, poor Le'Veon Bell, 3 yards a carry. Come on. So anyway, John, over on the wrestling feed here at Place to Be Nation, you don't know Billy Jack, number 9, finds Drew and Jordan taking their first look at Joshi in an all-action Dream Rush Rager. In a two-part, Row 1, Seat 1, Ben interviews Brad Stutz and Grant Sawyer about their history in CWF Mid-Atlantic, and then, for the first time, discuss their separation from the promotion. On episode number 2 of With This Ring, Ryan and Cindy continue going over their GWWE list with a look at the bloodbaths. On PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance number 12, JT, Jenny, and the one and only John D'Amato continue their ECW adventure with 4 episodes of ECW TV from the summer of 1994. Main event number 139 finds Scott, Nate, and Steve previewing Impact's No Surrender and NWA's Into the Fire, plus a trilogy of New Japan Classic match picks. On Talking WCW number 10, Jenny, Greg, and Tim spotlight Greg's favorite wrestler of all time, Bret the Hitman Hart. Also, be sure to check out the Pop Feed, littered with great content like what you're listening to right now, this week in the NFL, along with other tremendous shows like The Hard Traveling Fanboys, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater, DC for You, Marvel Age, the Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jenny Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. On our social media pages, the greatest sitcom of all time tournament is now underway. We're in the opening play-in round. Actually, I think we've advanced beyond the opening play-in round at this point. There's four matchups every day. If you like the page on Facebook, you'll be notified when those matchups go up. And the official sitcom of this week in the NFL, Sledgehammer. Easy win in the first round. And I got some inside info that they have a real tough draw in the second round. So we're going to need all our listeners to go on, do it on Facebook and Twitter when it goes up. Sledgehammer. I would even encourage you to potentially create some fake accounts and do it that way as well. Like to really, we really want to stuff the ballot box on this one.
Russian
guys.
Bots.
But Sledgehammer, moving onward, if it can get by this very challenging show that it's up against, it's got a clear path for a couple of rounds. So let's get it done. John?
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
And Senior will be beating the drum for that one as well. So if you have any respect for him, go out and vote. Be sure not to forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of sports, wrestling, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Polly's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn's Weekly Walk Around the Web and Campus Hot Takes. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon, helps out Place to Be Nation with no cost to you. While you're on Amazon, check out a new book by Adrian Cotton, AWO, Big Time Players, Episode 1, The Beginning of Change. It's a vivid description of the debut edition of the AWO's weekly television program, Big Time Players. Finally, for information on joining our GWWEP pay-per-view and TV match ever project, visit our social media pages as ballots are now open and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Final ballots are due December 31st of 19. That's all I got, John. We got a lot of great content here. It's going to be another exciting week of football. It's kind of nice at this time of year because you can really laser focus on just a few important games. And that's what we're going to be doing. As always, reach out to John or I via social media, text message, carrier pigeon, whatever works for you. We'll, we can talk some sports on here. And coming next week, I just like to plug something for myself since I don't do much for Place to Be Nation. Coming next week, I'm starting a boxing live watch of some old boxing matches where myself, Matt Souser, and who knows if we're going to have any other guests are going to be watching, be kicking off the show with what I consider to be the I don't know if it's the greatest fight of all time, it's the greatest fight of my lifetime, which is Diego Corrales versus Jose Luis Castillo, number one. So tune in for that, and we're going to try to make it at least a monthly thing. And, John, hopefully you can hop on there and do that with us sometime too.
Oh, of course, man. It's more. Want to hear more of Sousa, man. More Sousa's a better thing.
Yeah. More Sousa, less cowboy. That's going to be the motto of that show.
Are we going to have a sexy name for this new podcast?
Yeah, I haven't thought of it yet, but... We're gonna come up
with something good. I'll help you out on that. Sure. Got to get Mr. Criscolo on too. He's a master pugilist, an expert in the.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was thinking something along the lines of like, like, run out the door when the bill comes. How's that for a name for the show? What do you think? No?
Who's fighting? Buddy McGirt or Buddy McGinn?
Hey, I don't know. But I digress. So, John, do you got any last words for the group here?
No, you've said it all. Like the great Howard Stern says, I think we've said it all.
All right, so for Mr. D'Amato, I'm the Cowboy. Everyone enjoy Week 15. We'll be back with you next week. No bye weeks this year. So have a great weekend, guys.
Peace.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.